2021 was the year acclaimed to be the period of the Great Resignation. Employees were taking control in their hands by leaving toxic work environments. Then came 2022, and we began to see a shift. The great layoffs, as I would call it. Startup and big companies were laying off employees by the thousands. And while 2022 was the year that I started an exciting journey with a new job in the industry of my dream, I was on the crappy end of the layoff stick. When I first started my podcast, it was to share the stories of Canadian-based entrepreneurs. But now I find that this podcast will be a safe space for me to shamelessly share my journey as I relearn the world of entrepreneurship in Canada. Without further ado, here is episode 6 and the start of season 2 of the Business and Culture podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Business and Culture podcast. I am your host, Kariz Maggie. Thank you so much for being here. We are back with season 2. Yes, after a long break, I decided that I really wanted to get this podcast back up and running. There are so many great stories to tell about entrepreneurs here living in Canada, so much insight they have to offer. And so, yeah, I want to keep this going. So thank you for tuning in. If you are new here, I created this podcast because I noticed that there is a lot of information regarding entrepreneurship, mainly from the lens of US-based perspective and not that much of Canadian experience. And so I wanted to be able to create this platform for that and also to explore the differences in culture, business culture, so like business relationship, things like that. So yes, enough rambling for me. Hi. I have no idea, to be honest, how this episode is going to go. It is my first solo episode, and we actually left this podcast off talking about the Great Resignation. So that was episode 5 of season 1, where I talked to a mindset and transition coach called CJ, also known as Christine James. And I would highly recommend you go listen to that podcast episode. It has so many gems in it. But I just find it so ironic that that was the final episode that I did. And shortly afterwards, now I'm going to be talking about my experience with getting laid off, how I've been coping, how, you know, lessons I've learned from it. And I just want to be able to share what it has been like, honestly, because I know many people had experienced it. And I feel like too many times we just talk about our victories and like all the good things, but we don't really talk about the down times and how that affected us. And, you know, just being real about how we felt. And so that's what I want to do today. So yeah, that's what we're going to do today. So a little backstory. So let me paint you a story right now. I came to Canada as an international student, and I went to school in Newfoundland. I thought that Newfoundland and Labrador, I should say the full province name. So I went to school in Newfoundland and Labrador. I thought that I wanted to become a doctor. That was, you know, the thing, you know, if you're an immigrant, usually the career paths are doctor, engineer, nurse, lawyer, or as people joke and say, the shame of the family. Like if you don't fit any of that, it's like you're the shame of the family. So I thought I wanted to be a doctor, and that's what I came to study. But very quickly while I was in it, I realized like this is not what I want to do. I don't want to be in school for X amount of years. I couldn't do it. And because of the fact that international students pay a significantly more amount than local students, I had to just stick with it, finish out my program. So I finished with a degree in general science and a minor in French. So major in general science, minor in French. And after that, I wasn't really sure what my career path would look like. I wondered if I would just go back to school and maybe go towards teaching kids French and general science related courses, so like chemistry, bio, things like that, or would I just go ahead and start working and figure out my career path that way? And that's what I decided to do. I decided to move to Toronto. I got a job working for a nonprofit as a program coordinator / volunteer coordinator / social worker. Like there were a lot of hats that I wore in that role. And I don't regret any of my decisions that I made because I knew that for what I wanted to do, Toronto was the place that would give me that more access to resources, opportunities, networking with people, and seeing the possibilities that are out there. So I was in that job for about 4 years, and it was great. I enjoyed who I was working with. I loved talking to the clients, getting to know them. And it really allowed me to know from an immigration standpoint, like the different levels of immigrants and resources that are available, and also to see in some aspects how unfair the system can be. And just knowing all these other benefits as well, like even like Canadian residents, like how the system was unfair to them as well. So it was also heartbreaking to see, but I was happy that I was in a position to also help people as much as I can. But it reached a point where I felt like I was at the peak of what I could do there. I was in the most senior position at that place. There wasn't much more climbing for me to do, for me to pivot into the company. I tried doing that in many ways, just doors wouldn't open up. And so I wasn't really sure if I would actually get my way of getting to start something new. I wanted to do social media marketing. So by my second year, I knew that's what I wanted to do, but opportunities just never came up to advance within the organization in that way. But I didn't give up. I kept, doing good work, stellar results in everything that I do. I don't mean to toot my horn, but I mean, why not? And I remember it was during the pandemic when things got really difficult, like extremely difficult. And mentally, it took a toll. Like the job itself just took a toll on me in a way that I did not imagine it could. And that's when I knew. I remembered making the promise to myself at the end of 2021. I was like, by next year, the middle of the year, I need to be working in a new career. And it would need to be in social media marketing. Like, that's my career path. That's where I see myself going right now. And so I was already doing the groundwork to help pivot myself into it. As a content creator, that was also where I started in my journey for loving marketing because you have to learn how to market your videos and build a community and connect with people. And so I really began to be like a geek, a little nerd in social media and just learning everything, putting myself on all the platforms and experimenting, seeing what works, what doesn't work. And then I eventually started freelancing during the pandemic, mainly to help small businesses and nonprofits, so that could give me a bit more experience. But I felt like I had something missing in terms of skills. And so I was very much aware of that. I didn't go to traditional school for marketing. All of the things that I was knowing was like self-taught. But the problem was in Canada, if many of you know, when you decide to work after you graduate, you get a postgraduate work permit. And so you're not allowed to work and go to school at the same time. And this allowed me to also be a bit back in my career if I did want to go back to school. And so I looked for different avenues. Lo and behold, I found a program via Meta, and it was available on Coursera, where it was for a Meta social media professional certification. And that certification also allowed me to get their digital marketing associate certificate as well. So did that, felt more confident pitching to businesses and showing my value proposition, got a couple of clients, doing the thing, building my portfolio. And I remembered, I wasn't really taking applying too seriously. That was in 2021 when I did that certification. Here and there, I would like kind of feel out a bit, applying here and there, seeing how it goes. And I know I started really taking it seriously like at the end of 2021. And finally, in 2022, April was when I got a job offer at a digital marketing agency. I was happy. I was elated. I finally got a chance to start a new career. I felt like it was in an environment that would allow me to grow and evolve and give me the tools that I needed to really advance my career. I was also excited because I was going to be one of the persons to help kind of develop that department a bit more at the agency. So that was kind of really cool, you know? But then trouble hit. And just like any other company that experiences unforeseen financial circumstances, the first thing that they're gonna think about is where they can cut their expenses. And usually, salaries for some people is sadly the first ones that they will look at if they can't see any other way out. And so I was one of a couple of people who got laid off, and that was, I don't mean to sound dramatic, but it was a traumatic experience just because of how everything happened. And also, I had never experienced this before. And I also felt like I didn't have any resources of how to cope with it because even though a lot of people were going through this, just like me, very little people were talking about it. And so today, I want to talk about some of the lessons that I learned, things I wish I did, and how I'm moving forward. And hopefully, this can be somewhat of a letter to anybody else who has gone through this or is going through this, that whenever this happens again, you know what you need to do. Oh, my battery's dying. We're good. If this was to ever happen again, at least you know what you need to do. So let me get started with how I took the news. So the thing about working at a corporate organization is that everyone always says that HR is not your friend, and that is true. So I remembered the energy that I got when I got recruited. I felt like it was very different when I was laid off. It felt a bit cold and insensitive. That is how I would describe the whole experience. And I know that having to lay off someone is not a great experience. It's not an easy thing to do either, but it was just interesting to see that shift in how it is when you're getting recruited versus when they're firing you or whatever, so, or laying you off. And I remember I had a lot of anger. Yes, there was a lot of anger. I won't even lie to you. I was pissed because I'm like, it wasn't even so much of being laid off, it was more of the wait was done. And the worst part is that it wasn't even because of anything I did or didn't do. It was a company issue with finances. So I remember at the time that I just took in the news, and another reason it kind of felt a bit or made me upset at the time was that day was when I was supposed to do the review with my reporting manager, giving feedback of how my couple months has been or whatever. And I thought that our meeting was being pushed up for the morning instead of the afternoon as it was originally for. So I didn't take that time change in our meeting to mean anything. So when I go to this meeting in the morning, getting ready for work, and to find out that this is actually a different kind of news, it's a different kind of meeting, that threw me off. And I know I got like apologies for that already. Like, you know, they didn't remember, whatever. Like, that was supposed to be the day I did that, and blah, blah, blah. Like, this was actually a meeting that got delayed a couple of times as well. So maybe it could be that they just really didn't remember. But I remembered at the time that I didn't care. It was like, you should know because you have your schedule, just like I have my schedule. So, yeah, that was probably the part that pissed me off more. But it took some time to really not be angry anymore, and I am at peace with it. No hard feelings towards the company or anything. It's just a lesson for me, honestly. I think one thing I'm really learning about the corporate world, especially in Canada, is you got to really do your homework on the companies. Don't just take what whoever is recruiting you tells you. Really do your research on the company to have an idea of the culture there and the work culture and all of these different things. I'm not saying that even the most awesome company in the world won't have layoffs, but there is probably a different way they would go about doing it. And yeah, that's all I'll say about that. The next thing about the experience was I remember kind of trying to force myself not to feel anything, and that wasn't a good idea. Because I remember it took me months to kind of get over how I was feeling because I numbed the feeling for so long because there was some sort of shame attached to it. You know, it's like you left a job, you went to another job, you're thinking everything is all good, and then bam, like you're unemployed. So I think I had a lot of shame at the time that allowed me to not want to feel anything because I was afraid that if I felt anything, I guess I was afraid of what that feeling would do. That's honestly how I felt in that time. But when I finally allowed myself to feel it, so that meant crying if I needed to, that means just not doing anything, like just being still. Which is probably the next thing I would say I learned is like at the time, with me not trying to feel anything, I tried to like go right back into, okay, I'm just gonna look for another job and like get back on my feet. That's the mindset I had, right? I'm just gonna, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna show them that that's kind of where it came from. And that didn't work in my favor. So I would say that if there's anything I could have changed in that situation was like allowing myself to feel and process the news properly and not feeling guilty for like not doing anything for like at least a week, just staying still and allowing myself to sit with the news and process it and not like pity myself, but more of reflect, right? Apart from that, I would say that an experience like this, you definitely need to have a support system to get you through it. I had an awesome, or I have, I should say, I have an awesome fiance who's very supportive of me, and my family who was very supportive, you know, never making me feel like a failure for the situation, but just being encouraging, checking in on me, being my cheerleader when I had like interviews come up, and like immediately I'm like having PTSD because I'm like, now I felt like I got to a point where I felt like I couldn't even trust my judgment anymore. I was now questioning my skills and ability because of what happened. Again, this was despite the fact that it had nothing to do with what I did and didn't do, but still in the back of my mind, I was thinking, what if it was because I wasn't good enough? Another thing that I would probably do differently is just to stay offline, especially LinkedIn. I saw so many stories of people not only being laid off, but just seeing how, because of what company they worked for, how quickly the community just came to their aid, and very quickly, just because of where they worked at, they were getting a job like that. And there was like this thought I had where I was like, but what about everybody else who has been laid off just because they're not working for a big tech company? Like, they need jobs too. Like, why aren't we rallying behind those people just the same? And now I understand as well why some people are so adamant with working for certain companies because it comes with that certain status. It's like, oh, you worked at Google, you worked at Microsoft, you worked at Meta. Like, oh my God, you worked at Spotify. Like, it comes with a certain like status with it, whether we want to admit it or not. And that is a big reason why many people would want to work there as well. But that was something that the more I went on LinkedIn, the more I would see those things. And then I saw one post that someone made saying, like, if you got laid off, something along the fact of like blaming people, like it's because you weren't performing. And I was just so glad though to see in the comments where people are like, or it could just be that the company had to make a financial decision and that's what happened. Like, not everything is because of someone's performance, why they would get laid off or let go. So yeah, that was pretty much what that was like, and I definitely was able to, like, even though at the time I couldn't see it, the experience was also a blessing in disguise. It took me a while to see it, I won't lie to you. And it's mainly because the thing with being an immigrant is that we already have so many stereotypes put on us in terms of, oh, we just come here and feed off the resources of the government and things like that. And it's like that doesn't apply to every single person. Myself, had I not been probably working at this company and the one before for a certain amount of years and having them take EI benefits out of my paycheck, I don't think I would have been able to get that benefit to like help me for a bit while I figured out my next step. You get what I mean? So it's like, I know that there was some sort of pride for me as well, where it's like, as much as even though I feel like I also contribute, I don't want to get that certain type of help because I already know the stereotype that is placed on us as immigrants when we receive any sort of assistance. So that was one of the biggest reasons why I think I was like, I didn't want to stay still. I just wanted to apply, get a job right away and just, you know, be good. And I know that I'm working my fair share of, I do my work, I get my paycheck and you know, that's it. But yeah, like it also allowed me to accept the help. It's like, you know, like it literally comes from my paycheck. Why the hell not? Like, that's what it's there for. You lose your job and the way you get EI benefits, especially from being laid off, is because it was no fault of yours. You didn't get fired or anything. You got laid off. That's what the benefit is for, apart from like maternal leave and things like that. So I had to really learn to understand that I don't need to have these stereotypes in my head about what these benefits are for and just accept the help. Just accept it and, you know, move on from there. All of this also, what I was talking about the blessing in disguise. Sorry, I kind of went on a tangent for a bit, but it was a blessing in disguise in that it allowed me to then have time for the other side of me that didn't have time to nurture those creative sides of me. So as I talked about before, I am a content creator, but in trying to chase, trying to build a career as well, I would say that my creative journey has been put on the back burner, where I haven't really sought out opportunities that can really help to really like put me up there as a content creator. And those are opportunities that I got to leverage a bit more, I would say, at the end of last year or the middle of last year towards the end, really knowing about programs that are available. So during this whole time, I was able to be enrolled in two programs. So there was one where I got to be trained as a food tour guide, which was awesome because the year before I had created a whole food series dedicated to showcasing restaurants in Toronto that bring a unique ethnic cuisine to the city. The second program was a 6-week extensive program to help us be able to apply for a grant by Ontario Creates, and this grant was specifically for helping content creators develop a web series. And the web series I wanted to develop, ironically, is what? Kitchens of Toronto, the food series that I did the year before, but for season 2 is what I am applying for the grant for. So it's like, sometimes you don't understand why something would happen. You're questioning God. Like, I am a Christian. I believe in God. I have a faith in him. And so there was a moment where I'm like, why me? Like, why did this have to happen to me? But also it's like, why not? Like, you're not special, Maggie. Like, everyone will go through their trial and tribulations. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that nothing bad is going to happen to you. That is also something I had to really remember, that, yeah, you're not exempt from going through hard times. And in all of this, I know that it made me a better person. I am more aware of not just my worth, but being more intentional about the companies that I know I want to work for. And even though I am not opposed to working a 9-to-5, I don't mind it. This journey has also put me on a path to kind of discovering more of myself and tapping into the entrepreneur in me. And as we continue on this journey for this year, I hope to be talking about more of these things, things I've been discovering and learning as a baby entrepreneur. I would say I am a freelancer. I don't claim myself as a full-time entrepreneur. It's more of freelancing to get experience, build up the portfolio. I'm taking my time. I don't want to be this person who feels a bit like unrealistic with my expectations. There are things that I do need to learn a bit more to be that successful entrepreneur that I think, but I'm taking the steps to get there. And at the same time, I'm still here. If anyone is hiring, I would love to still be able to get experience in that industry to, get my wings and fly. So that is the episode, y'all. Like, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I really was so nervous to talk about this, and I really hope it resonated with someone. Like, I just want anyone who's experiencing this, like, I know it's not an easy time. It's very difficult. There have pe been people who have been without a job for months, almost a year, and I can just imagine the stress that that has caused. So I get it. Trust me, I get it. Your girl has officially been there, done that. So yeah, I'm just excited to see what the future holds, and I hope that you will continue to follow me on this journey. I'm looking forward to having some amazing people join the podcast to share their story. There are so many things that people need to really know about entrepreneurship. It's not this lifestyle that can be glamorized. There is a lot of work, sacrifice. I've seen a couple posts online that says, I became an entrepreneur. I left my 9-to-5 just to become an entrepreneur to work 24/7. That is real. Like, people are working much harder than they would if they were in a 9-to-5, because now they are funding their own dreams. They are working towards building a legacy for their family. And so it does take more work than if you're just working for somebody for a couple of hours and they give you a paycheck. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to subscribe if you are watching this on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform, don't forget to rate us on Apple Podcasts or even Spotify. Write us a review on our website or Apple Podcasts. All of the description is going to be, or all of the links, I should say, is going to be in the description or the show notes. And so, yeah, thank you for listening. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you're listening to the Business and Culture podcast on Spotify, you can participate in our poll and questions for every single episode. We would love to hear from you and get your feedback. Don't forget to subscribe or follow and leave us a review so we know how you're finding this podcast. Looking forward to you listening to more episodes with more inspiration, more insights, and more business and culture. Catch you in the next episode.